You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another episode of Bison Report Radio. I am your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum. Today, we've got a jam-packed show, as though that might seem odd. It is a Thursday on a bye week, so Ross, why are you jam-packed? Because we've got all sorts of stuff going on. Brett McMurphy, of course, is the headliner of what we would be discussing today. Brett McMurphy of the Action Network speaking, or basically reporting yesterday, that the Mountain West is finally pursuing NDSU as a member. It was reported, I think, by Mike McFeely here in the Fargo market that it is a football-only membership. I don't think I can find that verbiage anywhere in McMurphy's reporting. I think to a degree it makes sense that maybe NDSU would want to keep the lower revenue sports, and frankly some of the non-revenue sports like soccer and golf, and I'm not being disrespectful to these programs, but they spend more money than they bring in as far as like attendance, things of that nature. So I think part of it makes sense. Geb, we'll talk later about why I would not want that to happen, but again, this is all kind of pie in the sky. Trevor Gebhardt, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, here with you. How are you, buddy?
Doing good, Ross.
There's hoops tonight. Going to get this out for you. Illinois State, I will say, just so people – I don't know what the expectation would be. Yes, this is the Illinois State team that Bowden Skunberg, Jamestown native and four-year player at NDSU, did transfer out there. But Bowden missed Illinois State's game on Monday with a leg injury. He did not play at all. And so how am I to know that 3 days later he would be ready to go here back in Fargo against the Bison? I'm not to know that. I don't know if Mr. Skunberg will play or not. Probably not going to get into a huge preview for that game. It's we don't know very much. Obviously, NDSU only having played one game so far, and it was against a non-Division I opponent. Jackson Mone not even available for that game. We don't know about his availability tonight, and we just don't know much. We don't know much, so it's hard to get into a super deep preview of what might go on tonight at the Shack. And we don't know if Bowden's going to be available. If he is, that'll be quite the homecoming. I am sure the entire Skunberg crew will be there, as they were very, very often in his tenure at North Dakota State University. Again, we will not get into that one a ton. Geb, if this feels a little bit disjointed, normally we have like a script or some notes. This is off the hip. I got to catch a flight tonight. I'm going out to California on some business. Geb's got stuff going on. You can see he's got the polo on. He's buttoned up. He's ready to rock. quick thoughts on you and I. I thought, it was kind of like, I think they being you and I, got a little bit of the rivalry juice in the sense that for the first like six possessions, 3-3, it felt to me a lot like on paper what we said was going to happen. And then you and I got a little bit of the like pride points, and mm-hmm. not that they made it close, but they got the, we're not just going to lay down and take it type points in that like second, third quarter area. And then of course, NDSU able to
you know, eventually win the game and do it by a margin, you know, I think that you'd like to see. I don't know that there was anything necessarily wrong, you know, with winning the game by, let's see, what was the final margin here? I want to say it was close to 23. Yeah, 19 to 42, 23. I don't know that there's anything wrong with that. You know, I had a much bigger spread predicted. Just what were your thoughts? To me, it was like, yeah, we were sort of right on the difference of talent between the two, but you and I kind of put up that, like, we're not just going to get rolled type of fight.
Yeah, so, I mean, I admittedly didn't even get to watch the game, unfortunately, but certainly kept up with the scores through the ESPN app. And just kind of the game flow, watching it from that viewpoint, it was about what I expected. I mean, it was – I don't think the end result was ever in doubt in terms of NDSU coming out with a dub. But it, you know, my thoughts prior to this game was Northern Iowa, they're going to play hard. They're coached by Farley still, so I don't think that was ever in question. Having experience playing him myself, or playing against him rather. And them not giving up doesn't surprise me. So it's like, if the game's over, they're still fighting, they're still swinging, the talent, the dogs just aren't there anymore in Cedar Falls, you know, this is the exact result you're going to see. So, you know, I think you get the game over and you kind of look towards the bye week. I mean, these guys have been playing for 3 months straight, and that's a lot to ask.
Yes.
Regardless of how, you know, the results are, it's not even a physical thing. It's a mental thing. You just need a break, and that's just life in general. So, you know, I think there was probably a little bit of element of that when Northern Iowa made a surge, but by and large took care of business, did what you had to do to set yourself up going into, you know, these last 2 weeks against an undefeated Missouri Valley opponent and another team who, if they beat you, assuming they win their outstanding games in South Dakota, they would share the Valley title with North Dakota State. So there's a lot on the line these last 2 weeks, and I think the bye week's coming at a really good time.
I totally agree. I think they needed to get healthy. You got to assume, like you said, that they need a mental break. I mean, I'm not talking to the guys every week. I don't know, you know, the vibe inside that locker room, but I know that even when you're winning, kind of the slog is the slog, right? Like it's a grind. The grind is real. It doesn't matter. I mean, obviously, when at the end of the grind, you're getting rewarded with a win every week, that it's better, but it still doesn't make it easy. There's nothing easy about playing college football. There's certainly nothing easy about playing college football at North Dakota State. All right, Geb, let's get after here. Let's discuss this FBS situation, Mountain West situation, you know, whatever you'd like to call it. I'm going to just read a little bit here from McMurphy's article. Basically, NIU or Northern Illinois, lots of ties there between NIU and North Dakota State. Polasek being a coach there at one time. Jake Landry being a coach there at one time. I think there's been some other NIU, NDSU connections. NIU,
Joe, of course. Go ahead. Joe Bashaner's brother, sure. Wesley, is the offense coordinator.
Yep. And NIU, obviously, famously going into Notre Dame Stadium, sorry, Zach, and beating the Golden Domers this year in what do they call those? They have those wins on their wall. What do they call those again?
The Boneyard.
Yeah, Boneyard wins. Yeah, I went and got a Boneyard win against Notre Dame. Certainly no lack of Boneyard wins. I believe there are 9 of them in NDSU history as well. And NIU, though, perhaps paving the way for the Bison as they are looking to stay in the MAC, as will Toledo potentially. And that is opening up the door, reportedly, for North Dakota State in that. And again, like I'm not seeing where it would be a football only member. I'd love to, especially now that they got Grand Canyon, what a sick basketball league that would be. Mm-hmm. I know they've lost a lot of their, because I think they got five or six teams in last year. Like, the Mountain West was an incredible basketball league. It's always what I've said. The Mountain West move would be just as big for men's basketball as it would be for football, because it removes the one bid aspect. Now, obviously, your recruiting has to rise, your level of play has to rise. But if you can rise to the level of being the third, fourth, and occasionally best team in the Mountain West, I mean, I'm not saying that would happen, but like once every 8-9 years, win a Mountain West title. But if you can just rise to the level of being one of the best three or four teams in the Mountain West, historically, you've gotten to play in the NCAA tournament, which is not something that you can say for North Dakota State or South Dakota State or any of these Summit League teams, even the great Oral Roberts teams. If they had lost on Championship Tuesday, they were done. Mm-hmm. There's no getting in two teams out of the Summit League. It's just not going to happen. So, anyway, moving off of that, I guess you had a discussion with someone close to the program recently where you had kind of, and we're not going to violate the sanctity of the group chat. We're not going to violate the sanctity of your discussion either, but you had a discussion with someone close to the program where even before this McMurphy thing came out, you had heard some rumblings of that. Go ahead and share anything you're sort of comfortable sharing about that. And again, not trying to get you in trouble, but just your parts of, or the parts of that conversation you're willing to kind of go over.
Yeah. The biggest takeaway that I had from that, and a lot of this, I put together some pieces that were noted that could be dots that might not very well be connected, but with this Brett McMurphy tweet, it definitely spoke volumes from that conversation. So kind of diving into that a little bit, the key takeaway that I had from it was that it appeared to me that if NDSU was going to make a jump to FBS, it would be a lone venture. And there had been some rumblings about kind of maybe Dakotas, potentially Montana's, which is a whole new level of complication with them being joined at the hip and the Montana schools all kind of going together to the Mountain West. And then that kind of falling through the cracks because of, I believe it was Utah State leaving, the conference panicking and wanting to hold funds, yada, yada, yada. Basically, what came of that is that if any Dakota school, Montana school, et cetera, wanted to make some sort of jump to FBS in the Mountain West, they would have to do it by themselves. And the conversation that I had, again, very much alluded to that there were things being worked on. Nothing was finalized yet. And that to me said, okay, there's conversations being had. And typically if a tweet like this from Brett McMurphy's being released, there's conversations being had weeks, maybe even months prior to that. So the timelines add up. Plus what I took away of it being a North Dakota State lone venture jump up is kind of the main theme there. And I think what Brett McMurphy said yesterday very much indicates that is being discussed and potentially worked on.
Yeah. And so if you've been living under a rock, or you just aren't obsessed with this move up or realignment like discussion, you know, what we're really talking about here is there had been talk of Montana State, and both the Dakota states, meaning leaving behind UND and leaving behind USD, but the Dakota states, Montana and Montana State, being a four-team package to be added to the Mountain West at the FBS level, okay? And it just sounds like they weren't able to get all the horses in the barn. They weren't able to get everything that needed, because you can't just do it, right? You've got to have all the stakeholders involved. Each of those teams has to have an answer to the budgetary issues, right? Travel budgets, scholarships going from 63 to 85. And in fact, I think the FBS is even going above 85 scholarships potentially.
When is that?
What's that?
When is that?
I don't know 100% increase. So let's see. It says,
do you know what it would jump to?
105.
105, so you're adding 20, so that's 40 for Title IX, plus the 22 that you'd have going from 63 to 85.
Yeah, and like baseball would go from 11.7 scholarships to 34.
If they were to join the conference as a full member, though.
Right. No, but I'm saying in general, baseball was limited to 11.7 scholarships, like nationwide, and that's getting fixed.
Oh, so okay. So part of this
right.
scholarship increase allotment.
And so baseball. Yeah, so football is getting bumped up to 105.
That's a substantial jump for baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know that.
So anyway, you have all those things. So you have to get Montana, Montana State, South Dakota State, and North Dakota State to get their donors in line, to get their budgets in line, to get their travel budgets in line, to get all the administrators to agree. I assume at some places, not that they're necessarily deal breakers, but you have to get the coaches to agree or not, but be supportive at the very least, right? Like if Brent Vegan, if Montana State says, Brent, we're going to the Mountain West, and Brent Vegan goes, I think this is a terrible idea. I don't know that that necessarily changes their mind, but I feel like it has to be taken in to consideration. And I think what we've learned is that the snow belt or what, like these four, they're not going together, at least not right now. Right now, this is a North Dakota State venture. That's my understanding of the situation.
In the short and the near term.
Right. And that is what McMurphy tweeted. And I think somebody else mentioned that if they're unable to get a different 10th football team, that potentially team number 10 could be South Dakota State. And it would be South Dakota State before Montana and before Montana State. So NDSU is what they're shooting for, and they would probably like to grab a different FBS team to make 10 football teams, but that they aren't locked into that, and that potentially South Dakota State could be the 10th football team.
Does McMurphy's language in that article say what you stated about they're looking for a football member? So, like, it doesn't allude, hey,
it really doesn't. And like I said, McFeely kind of ran with that, and maybe I'm reading the wrong article because it looks like Brett maybe has this in more than one place. And although it does say it was updated, I'm not seeing that. Where it
maybe said, if it was updated, if it was updated since yesterday, maybe the original language said stated that, and then
well, maybe that was what we do know. Here's what we do know, that NIU was a football only member. That's what we do know that is in the article. NIU was not going to leave the MAC in its other sports unless the MAC kicked them out. But who knows?
Well, maybe that could be it, where it's like, okay, we're looking for that to be the case, so they're looking for a program to do the same.
Sure. So I want to address just my take. I don't know that I've ever put my take in writing, or I don't know that I've ever necessarily had 5-10 minutes to just give my take on whether NDSU should move up. And I don't know. I think I've really swung in the last 3 or 4 years, because I get it, right? So this is Ryan Schoberg, SJ. He's a guy from Sioux Falls, asked me this question on Twitter, was very respectful about it, which I appreciate that. But it's a different way of asking the question that most of the people that are neutral to negative on this aspect ask. So his question on Twitter, just curious, no malice intended, why are you so set on them moving up and fading into irrelevance for a spot in the Quick Lube Bowl when they could keep competing for national titles? First of all, I don't know. I don't know at this point in time, with no JMU, no Appy State, no Coastal Carolina, no Sam Houston State, I can go down the line. I don't know how relevant an FCS national championship is anymore. I don't know how relevant it ever truly was. If you're talking about, like, look, College Game Day came twice. People know the Bison. I don't know on the scale of the relevance. And Trev, this is maybe an interesting conversation to have between you and me.
Yeah.
Where did the 9 national championships rank as far as making NDSU a national football brand? And then where does beating Kansas, beating Kansas State, beating Iowa State, beating Minnesota, like where did those wins also – because to me there's two different parts of NDSU's lore as an FCS program. There are the FCS national titles, and then there are the Power Five wins. Beating Iowa is part of their legend. I think beating Iowa is just as much or more a part of their legend than some of those national titles. In fact, I'm relatively certain the team that beat Iowa did not win the national title.
They did not. They didn't even make the national title game. That was when James Madison beat him in the semis.
And yet I would say that that team, I mean, other than the K-State win, that's one of the bigger wins in program history. So I don't know that that would be fading into irrelevance. I'll also say right now Boise State is in the now they're leaving, but the Boise State is in the conference that NDSU would like to get into. I don't know. Ashton Jonte's like the second or third biggest story in football, in college football this year.
Right.
How many cool things has Boise State gotten to do? How much fun was it right away when UNLV was undefeated? Like, it's plenty relevant, guys. The Mountain West. I mean, look, if you're wanting NDSU to one day be Ohio State, like, you're going to be wanting for a while.
Probably forever.
Yeah.
It
isn't going to be the deal.
Right.
But moving up allows you to become a little bit more part of the conversation. Right now, Boise State is a one-loss team, and they're in the playoff with a loss.
With the college football playoff expansion, it makes all the sense in the world because 100%. It's already allocated that the top-rated group of five school is in the playoff. And to me, with that changing landscape and the competitiveness of FCS being so, so top heavy, I almost have a hot take that the playoff formats currently should swap, where the FCS playoff format goes to FBS and vice versa.
And the 12 team goes to the FCS. Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah. It's so top heavy. Like look at last year's. No, that's an outlier. Last year's Jacks team. The playoffs were a formality.
Yeah.
You know, barring some massive injury or like something crazy happening, South Dakota State was going to win the national title a year ago. And I think those trends are only continuing. And so now irrelevancy, it's like, okay, FCS in the big picture in the entirety of college football is not going to get the views that FBS is. And you got the expanded playoff, which is only going to bring more eyes to it. You got to find a way to get to that dance. Is it a probability that North Dakota State's going to be in the playoffs the first 5 years of their eligibility? It's not probable, but there is a possibility in time that that could take place. And now you've put yourself into relevancy because you've positioned yourself to do so. And when you've already done everything you can as a program at the current level that you're at, all you're really doing is adding to your tally. And it doesn't really change how you're viewed as a program nationally because you're already there. You mentioned the nine national titles and the FBS wins. I mean, to me, it kind of build on each other into the lore. I think the nine national titles makes it a statistical outlier that makes people pay attention. And then when you add the FBS Power Five back in the day wins, now Power Four, to it, that adds credibility. It kind of stamps it as a legitimacy for people to say, okay, this is real. These guys can play football. And when you've accomplished that as a program with 22 less scholarships, it really starts to wonder what you can do when you get yourself in a position to go and compete at the highest level that you possibly can. And that's what NDSU strives to do in all avenues.
Yeah, and that's my other thing, right, is besides just what I view to be relevant, I think this will make FCS people – guys, NDSU or SDSU is winning the title this year. I don't know, like it isn't going to be a different team. It's just not. It's not going to be Montana State. North Dakota State or South Dakota State is going to win the title again this year. And, you know, I think NDSU would have to be the favorite. They're the number one team. I mean, I know the betting-wise, it's still South Dakota State, but I think North Dakota State's been the best FCS team all year. In my mind, they're certainly the favorite to win the FCS title, especially after that SDSU-USD game. Like, I didn't see a big gap between the Rabbits and the Yotes. I don't know, man. I think SDSU's come back down to earth. I can't get that NDSU-USD playoff game in Vermilion out of my mind last year. They're going to play again, so the Coyotes will have a chance to prove me wrong. But anyway, that's another discussion for another day. The discussion about the Quick Lane Bowl or whatever, to me, it's just tired. Okay, this franchise, if you will, this program has never been to a bowl game. You don't know how Bison fans would travel. And honestly, like, there's programs, even good programs, like our friends over at Kansas State. Like, yeah, they might make the playoff a couple times. Is Kansas State really competing for a national championship? I don't know. Right? Is Oklahoma State really competing for a national championship? Is Kansas? Is Colorado? And we're not even – these are Power 5 programs. Like, is North Carolina? I don't know. So –
And they likely won't be until if – I think it's more a matter of when. NIL is going to change to some degree. To what extent, I don't know. I certainly have my own opinion on what I think it should be. But NIL, I think, will shift. It's not going to be – it's not going to be this free for all that it currently is.
I hope not.
Yeah, it will change. And I think that's more of when. I don't know how long that's going to take. It might be a while, but until that changes, you're going to see a consistent theme of teams actually competing for the national title. So the relevancy is getting into the playoff.
Right. Yeah, no, I get that. And what I'm saying is NDSU, especially if they win their 10th FCS national championship, which I think will bring the school up to 18 total national titles at the non, you know, top level. So I think be 8 D2 and then 10 D1 national titles, but at the FCS level, I don't know that fans even at that point are going to be that excited about going and pursuing number 11, number 12, number 13, whatever. And look, like, they're all special. All the ones, Trev, that you won are special. It's all a part of an unbelievable move up in 2001, 2002 by Joe Chapman and Gene Taylor. But this is the next step. It just is. And you can make fun of the Quick Lane Bowl, but how many times have the Gophers been in the Quick Lane Bowl? Like, it's just the next step for NDSU athletics. You mentioned the 12-team playoffs. Folks are sick of what the FCS has become. And even honestly, if Sam Houston and if JMU and if a couple of the other top teams at the FBS level had stayed and NDSU was still winning their 11th, 12th, 13th national titles, it's like, okay, what's the next frontier? And I think we're at the point now where we're looking for the next frontier. We being North Dakota State. It's just time to, you know, get into that. And I know Boise State's really the only Mountain West team to sort of like approach the heights that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But why not NDSU, right? Why not North Dakota State University in this market? And I just, what I'll really say too is, like, you look at Murray State, look at Macomb, you look at even, God bless them, Brookings and Vermilion. I want Fargo to be on par with Albuquerque and Honolulu and Las Vegas and Boise, Idaho, although Boise State is leaving. But, like, that's what we're, as a market, becoming as Fargo, West Fargo, Horace, Moorhead continue to expand. Be what you are. You know, don't aspire to be Vermilion, South Dakota. Don't aspire to be Macomb and Normal, Illinois. in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Aspire,
well, especially if you're the only FBS program in the Dakotas and Montana.
Exactly, exactly. And so that's what do you want to be a part of? And I will tell you too, flatly, NDSU does lose the occasional recruit to that letter, C versus B.
Where right. It's
just, hey, all things considered, I would go to NDSU, but I want to compete at the highest level. And by definition, NDSU does not currently compete at the highest level. Now, will they go up against somebody and it's them and the other offers from Nebraska and they take the Nebraska offer? Yeah. Because they'll say, hey, the Big Ten is not the Mountain West, or the Mountain West is not the Big Ten. Okay. I'd rather have that conversation. Okay. With
there's two other things to think about. This is more future thinking. But let's say you do find a way into the playoff.
Yeah.
Some way, shape, or fashion. And it's still a 12-team format. I'm sure that'll shift and change. Okay. Notre Dame cannot be a top 4 seeded team, because they're not affiliated with the conference. The highest that they can be is 5th. If you're the 12th G5, rated
G5 program, Notre Dame, yes.
That was an intentional shot at Zach. 100%. Okay, Notre Dame gets into the playoff as a 5 seed, and you're the 12 seeded team in as the highest rated group of 5 program. You're going to play in South Bend.
Yeah.
For a college football playoff game.
And everybody's like, oh, cool, you're going to be Cincinnati or you're going to be UCF and you're going to get baptized by Georgia. Okay.
Fine.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. I'm for it.
It's to me, that's more fun than, you know, title number 14 at the same stadium in the same
town. Other thing, too, because here's what I foresee happening. The Power Four, whatever you want to call it, maybe it becomes the Power Two and it's just the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Is going to break off and do their own thing. Now you're in position, again, to be back at that second level to compete for a national title with the current group of 5 schools.
And that's the last aspect, and then we're going to get going, that I did want to touch on, is if you do get a breakaway and it's the top, say, 20 brands, top 24 brands, top 28 brands, so I'm not necessarily saying like teams, but like, you know, your North Carolinas, your Dukes, because they're gonna have to break away in all sports, because they're not gonna be able to just break away in football, because it'll destroy these conferences, it'll destroy these relationships, it'll be a huge thing. Mm-hmm. So your North Carolinas, your Dukes, your Georgias, your Texases, your Oklahomas, your Oregons, your USCs, like your top 24, 32, 40 brands break off. I mean, what is NDSU's current Sagarin rating? Which is ridiculous, because they're probably still ranked below South Dakota State, which just make me angry.
Yeah, I believe they are.
Hilarious. So right now, 54. NDSU's 54th. Take the top 40 programs out of the country, they're right there. I'm not saying with 85 scholarships, North Dakota State couldn't compete with SMU. Couldn't compete with Tulane, couldn't compete with Minnesota, couldn't compete with, you know, maybe Wisconsin doesn't, you know, move up or break away, excuse me. Couldn't compete with a Washington State who probably wouldn't get picked to break away. Couldn't compete with a Vanderbilt who probably wouldn't get picked to break away. Now you take the top 40 brands. Now, is NDSU the favorite? I don't know about that. But could they win a national title if you took the top 40 programs out of the NCAA? Yeah.
So then doing that and getting in that position earlier, the better, because theoretically, in that same scenario, those group of 5 schools are going to need to backfill programs. And in that event, you're going to have Montana's, Dakota's. They would all, in likelihood, be within that same bundle. So I think hook or crook, North Dakota State would find themselves in that party, whether they made the FBS move now or if the Power Four broke away and then it inevitably happened in that moment.
Yeah.
You're positioning yourself as a program with recruits, with, you know, notable wins, feathers in your caps, whatever you want to call them, to go and make a run in that scenario.
And frankly, Now, I know Fargo as a TV market is probably never going to help that much.
That's purely based off population. I have my own thoughts on that because people aren't tuning in to watch a low-quality football game.
Yeah. Regardless, though, it's another step up the ladder, too. Like, if something crazy – if NDSU establishes themselves as a top two or three program in the new Mountain West – if something crazy happens to the AAC or something crazy happens even to like the Big 12, well, now you get to be a part of the conversation. I don't know if you get to get invited, but now you get to be a part of the conversation. If you're the second or third best program in the Mountain West, then when weird stuff happens to those conferences that are another up the ladder from you, then you get the call. Because right now, like I said, I mean, we joke because the NDSU is in the Big 12 in wrestling. And then there's this big expansion and like, hey, Big 12, because you can see a straight line down where you hit like Kansas State, Oklahoma State, all the schools in Texas. And you can see sort of how the Big 12 is like, you could sort of loop NDSU in if you wanted to, but as an FCS program, they're not getting that call. But maybe in 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, if you've been a top two, three program in the Mountain West, maybe you at least get that phone call in 5 years, 6 years, 8 years. If you're still FCS, you're not ever getting that call. Like, you're just not.
Right.
All right, Trev, you got anything else? We're at the 40-minute mark. We're not trying to talk about this that long. I think we could go on for days. But you got anything else before we wrap up shop here?
No, I think I've captured everything that I kind of wanted to discuss. I mean, I think the biggest thing, too, is, you know, some of this can – I think if some folks listen to it that are, you know, diehard FCS or, you know, have this viewpoint that North Dakota State looks down on it, that's not the case at all. It's very much doing what's best for the program. And I have fond memories of playing in that subdivision. And, you know, I think NDSU is going to continue to strive to be the best program in FCS every single year, as long as they're there. I'll still follow that subdivision if NDSU were to make a jump, just by pure fandom and being a sports fanatic myself. But it has nothing to do with looking down on it in any way, shape, or form. And I think sometimes it can maybe come across that way, just because we kind of almost push it into irrelevancy when we're like, let's look up and see what the next thing is for us. But that's what it is. It's purely with the intent of the best interest of the program that we know and love.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. It's time to go. It is time to go. And actually, it's also time to go. We got to get the heck out of here. Trevor, thank you so much for your time. Thank you to all of you wonderful people for listening to Bison Report Radio. Have a great bye weekend. Go Bison.